Over the last month, we've talked about how all of us are called to be leaders, right? If we're living, breathing in community with other people, we're called to be leaders, and especially called to be leaders if we are following the way of Jesus. In order to become more whole, more Christ-like, more authentic leaders, we have to pay just as much attention to what's going on in here as we do what's going on out there. We have to pay attention to the shadows inside of us so that we don't end up casting them on the people that we lead, but instead lead from the light or in light of what we believe to be true about God and God's love. If we want to be leaders who cast light, we have to rely on God to help us do the hard work, the internal work, to realize what we might be unconsciously bringing to the spaces and the places where we lead. And so we've talked about being aware of the shadow, I am what I do, in order to lead from the light of I am who God says I am. We've talked about becoming aware of the shadow of this war, this life is a war I must fight and win, in order to lead from the light of God provides an abundance and we can live in harmony. We've talked about being aware of the shadow of it all depends on me, in order to lead from the light of abiding in Christ and depending on others. Then last week we talked about becoming aware of the shadow of trying to eliminate chaos and manage away the mess in order to lead from the light of seeing going through chaos and mess as an opportunity for creativity and growth. And today we finish up this Leading from the Light series by confronting the shadow of nothing can fail on my watch, in order to lead from the light of failure never has the last word with God. May we pray together. God, pour out your spirit on us gathered here. Open our hearts, open our minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. I invite you to listen for God's word. When a great crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from one city after another, he spoke to them in a parable. A farmer went out to scatter his seed. As he was scattering it, some fell on the path where it was crushed, and the birds in the sky came and ate it. Other seed fell on rock. As it grew, it dried up because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorny plants. The thorns grew with the plants and choked them. Still other seed landed on good soil. When it grew, it produced 100 times more grain than what was scattered. As he said this, he called out, "Everyone who has ears should pay attention." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have not failed 10,000 times. I've successfully found 10,000 ways that will not work. That's what Thomas Edison said one time in response to a question about his many scientific missteps. Most of us, I think, would have a harder time saying that and an even harder time living that out. We are afraid of failure. We are afraid of things dying or ending on our watch. We live in denial that not everything is going to succeed and that all things eventually die in due course. We don't like change. When we lead from a place of fear of failure, denial of death, we cast a long shadow that is actually a combination of all of the shadows that we've talked about so far, if you think about it. See, when we're afraid of failure, it's because we've attached our identity to what we do and achieve so that when we experience failure, we feel like we are a failure. When we're afraid of failure, we feel like we have to outcompete everyone, and so we see the world through a lens of scarcity, and we clamor to get ours so that we don't fail. When we're afraid of failure, we seize control because we believe that in order not to fail, it all has to depend on us. When we're afraid of failure, we try to manage away all the mess and the chaos because if we're experiencing mess or chaos, it must mean because we failed. See that? So what kind of shadow is cast? When we lead from a place of fear of failure, we might keep alive or unreasonably cherish things that are no longer giving life. You've seen this in companies or churches or organizations where people hold on to programs or ideas or initiatives that are no longer working as if they are the most important or defining part of that church or that organization or that company. Where instead of just letting something go, we continue to give it life support as we say, but we've always done it this way. Where leaders demand that the people around them keep resuscitating things that are no longer alive to accommodate their own insecurities of not wanting things to fail on their watch. And so as leaders, we devote the finite amount of energy we have into something that's taking away from the energy and focus we might have on other possibilities and other people. You see this shadow with parents or bosses who adopt a particular posture or strategy for parenting or managing, and then even when it backfires repeatedly or doesn't work, they stubbornly hold on to it like it's the only way, or who can't admit to their kids or their employees when they've made a mistake. This shadow can prevent leaders and those they lead from starting something new, from experimenting, from taking risks. It creates a culture that fundamentally resists change because with every change we know comes a little death of something, a small letting go of something, a small loss. So this shadow paralyzes innovation, like a teacher who never tries a new lesson plan, or a doctor who never tries a new medicine or a new therapy, or a scientist who never formulates a new, different hypothesis. If we're so afraid to fail, we might just sit back and not even try. Of course, this leads to stagnation for everybody, or a culture where people believe they can't ever fail because failure is the end of it all. I confess that I was terrified to launch weekly worship here at VCR in January 2018 because I thought nobody would come. We'd have to pack up and leave. Isn't it interesting that we always say that we want to be more like Jesus, but in this particular area, we find it hard to want to be like Jesus because we don't want to be somebody who fails? Jesus experienced failure. We want to be greater than Jesus. Everything we do in church is a shining success that lasts forever. As followers of Jesus, living in fear of failure and in denial of death is living in denial of our creatureliness. It's living in denial of God's grace and ultimate power. To never fail is to never experience God's grace picking us back up and healing us. To lead like nothing can ever die on our watch is to never experience resurrection at work, that life comes from death. We need to turn to the light and lead from the light, which of course means turning to the God revealed in Jesus Christ. Now, while I don't necessarily think it was the main reason that Jesus told his parable about the farmer who sowed seed, it's hard not to see this story as a way Jesus leads his disciples and us to the light of trusting that failure never has the final word. Before Jesus told this parable in Luke's gospel, he had already experienced failure in his ministry. Right after delivering his first sermon in his hometown of Nazareth, all the people are raving about him. And Jesus says, well, actually, you know, a prophet is never welcome in his hometown. And then he proceeds to talk about other places in Scripture where prophets were rejected in their hometowns and embraced in towns of foreign nations that were not their home. The people turn on Jesus. They get so angry and They try and throw Jesus off a cliff. By most measures, this would not be a success. Hey guys, our first worship service was so successful, you know, the people tried to throw me off a cliff. No, people failed to get him, failed to accept him and his teaching. It was not successful. And Jesus is sowing seed anyway. Can you imagine if Jesus operated and led based on a fear of whether or not his message would be received successfully everywhere he went? A farmer went out to sow some seed, Jesus tells his disciples in a crowd in Luke 8. Some fell on the path where it was trampled and the birds ate it up. That's a failure. Other seed fell on rocky ground. As it grew, it dried up because of lack of moisture in the soil. That's a failure. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew with the plants and then choked them out. That's a failure. So far, the farmer in this story doesn't have a good record of success. Would the farmer continue to reach into his bag and scatter seed? Yes. Other seed, Jesus said, landed on good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100 times more crops, more grain than what was scattered. Now, this parable certainly can be about the reckless nature of a God who never runs out of seed. It can be about the different conditions of our lives and how we receive the good news of the gospel. And I wonder if Jesus tells the disciples this parable to make them and us more failure tolerant and more grace dependent. The disciples would experience lots of failure. And yet, just like their rabbi, they always seem to continue to scatter more seeds, never operating out of a place of fear of failure. And yet, nevertheless, somehow a harvest always seems to come forth. And yet, every instant seems to be a source of new learning for them. Failure doesn't have the last word. In our lives, in all the ways and places we lead, from our homes to our neighborhoods to our teams to our schools to our churches to our communities to our businesses, the seeds we cast, right? The words that we say, the things we do, the ideas or the policies or the strategies we put out, they get trampled on and eaten by birds, rejected. Have you ever had that happen? They land on rocky soil. They get going for a while and then fizzle out. That ever happened to you? They fall among weeds. They get choked out by other things. Does that hit close to home? Apparently it matters to Jesus that we keep sowing as a leader. Apparently it matters to Jesus that we grow through grace. Apparently it matters to Jesus that we lead from a profound place of trust that God will nevertheless bring forth a harvest of some sort. Failure doesn't have the last word. You know, scientists seem to have this figured out a lot better than the rest of us. Scientists have learned to be aware of this shadow. See, a good scientist doesn't fear the failure of a hypothesis because that small death often reveals exactly the next steps that need to be taken in order to discover truth or breakthrough or discovery. They keep on sowing. WD-40 is called WD-40 because it took 40 versions before the fledgling Rocket Chemical Company and its staff of three found the right formula for their water displacement degreaser. Think back to the discovery of the light bulb. Back to Thomas Edison earlier. He was reported to have tried some 1,000 different filament combinations before finding the one that worked in a light bulb. Think about the accidental discovery of penicillin and then the long road full of failure after failure until finally in the 1940s, we had a mass-producible antibiotic capable of saving millions of lives. Scientists have this shadow figured out. Friends, how much more should a people who worship a Savior, who by the world's accounts looked like he totally failed because he died a humiliating death on a cross and his followers ran away scared, but then he was raised to new life and to victory. The only way that we can learn, the only way we know we are loved, even in our failure, is to fail and experience God's love. The only way we can see that harvest can come from failed scattering of seed is to see failed scattering of seed and to see plants come up anyway elsewhere. The only way we can know that death does not have the final word is to see something die and then the new life that comes from it through the power and the creativity of God. Failure does not have the final word. I'm reminded of one of my friends, fellow pastors nearby, fellow United Methodist pastors, and I've been in awe recently of his leading from the light during a very difficult season of his church. To make a long story short, the church had to make the difficult decision to sell their beautiful building because the monthly mortgage payment on the building was suffocating them. It would have been very easy as a leader in that situation to deny reality and try to hold on to that building, to keep it on life support. It would have been very easy to see having to sell that building as a complete failure and to be afraid to do so as a result. When I talked to my friend about it, he acknowledged how hard and difficult it was, and he also seemed to operate like a weight was off of his shoulders. He said that the congregation was grieving and also excited about all the new possibilities that they would be able to consider now. Failure does not have the final word with God. That church is going to keep on sowing. I can't tell you the number of times that I've failed as a leader or things haven't worked related to church. I've done or said things that have caused people to leave. I've planned programs or events that no one has come to. I've preached sermons that have fallen flat. I've forgotten to call people when I needed to. I've probably failed even more times than that as a parent. But isn't that in and of itself a part of leading from the light? Being transparent about our failures, to create a culture where it's not a nail in the coffin, but a chance to fall into grace and to move forward in a different way while still sowing seeds. Friends, leading from the light means trusting in God's grace and the power to have the final word with failure. It means creating an environment that rewards people for taking worthwhile risks, even there's a chance of failing because it's a source of new learning and new possibilities. It means being willing to have the courage to let something go if it needs to go because we believe in resurrection. It means acknowledging loss and then moving into what's new. It means modeling what it looks like to continue to sow seeds, whatever those seeds might be, because we trust that God will bring forth a harvest as only God can. Failure is an option. And that's okay. Something might fail on our watch, but the failure never has the last word on God's watch. And if you find it hard to believe, just look at the cross. Continue to sow.